Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Selected readings today from the Gospel of John, chapter 9. And to the man born blind who Jesus gave back his sight, the Pharisees had driven the man out and were trying to understand how this miraculous healing even took place in the first place. But they didn't quite see what Jesus was trying to tell them. Hear now from selected readings in John chapter 9. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." And Jesus said, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said, "Surely, we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to him, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now that you see, your sin remains." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. Open our eyes that we may see. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. When I was a child, maybe teenager actually, I brought a lot of questions to the Bible. Some were very understandable questions, like how come there's only two gospels that tell us about the Christmas story when it seems such an important time? Other questions were still very real, fit into somewhat lighter categories, perhaps. One such question I had: what kind of food would God put on a table in front of my enemies? My brother and I had an idea: food fight. What kind of food could we be throwing at our enemies at that table? It was a childish logic for sure. It really seemed relevant to us at the time. Over the years, I've heard Psalm 23, I can't tell you how many times. Or maybe a gazillion, I don't know, maybe more. It's one of the most familiar passages in all literature. And people who know virtually nothing about Judaism or Christianity still know this psalm, or some version of it. It's a comforting peace. God is with us, caring for us like a shepherd, and we lack nothing, all good stuff. But wait, the advertisers say, there's more. When we sit at a communion meal table together, we pray, we break bread, we proclaim that we are all part of the family of God. When we sit down at a dinner around our own tables, we are now in that same place of whoever's joining us for a meal. We can pray, we can break bread, and we can pass it around our tables. God is still there with all of us. God is at any table when we lift our prayers and break the bread of life together. God is at all our tables, no matter where they are. Christians are not just about coming into a building, you see, and worshiping on Sunday morning. Although I love that you're here, and I'm grateful for every single person here. But I believe we are being invited to trust the Lord in a new way at this table. To know that God is everywhere. And once we see this, we become aware, you see, of sin and righteousness. When Jewish families sit down around the table together, it is a simple ritual act of sharing the meal together, and it means that they are related for life. They would look out for each other. In the Christian tradition, Jesus asks us to remember this breaking of the bread and pouring of the wine as a symbol that we are related in Him for life. Now, as I think about this in the context of Psalm 23, something dawned on me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It suddenly took on a whole new meaning for me this week. As I realized what God seemed to be doing through a simple act. I thought back years before when I was a child and I had a fight with a friend who came over and accidentally broke my toy. Instead of sending her home because we were both upset and crying, my mother brought out some cookies. She said, "Work it out." We did. We had to. You see, we are always in the presence of some kind of enemy. Whatever you perceive that enemy to be, whether it's your friend who broke your toy or someone who dinged your car in a parking lot, whether it's bad news from your doctor, whether it's facing a person who just constantly irritates you. The other day, I went to a store to look for an item in this particular store, not even in our town. I won't even name what it is. When I couldn't find this item, which I had always bought at this store, I went to the desk and I asked the clerk, who, you know, was waiting to ask the clerk where this item was. This man was on the phone, and I'm telling you, he was on the phone for 10 minutes. He saw me standing there, just kept talking. When he got off the phone, he said, "Can I help you?" And I said, I told him what I needed. And he said, "We don't carry that." And I responded, "But I've always purchased this thing here." Then suddenly his face got really red. There was steam coming out of his eyes. His eyeballs started bulging out of his head. And he said, "I said we don't carry that here. So stop asking me." At that point, I want to say, I'm going to keep asking you over and over and over whether you like it or not. In fact, I'm going to call you at midnight and I'm going to ask you. I took a deep breath. He was bigger than me. And the steam was getting more. And he had that mean look on his face. So, I heard my mother's voice. "Work it out." And I had to quickly work it out in my head and in my heart. Instead, I decided at that moment I'd just take the high road. I thanked him and I left. Let me tell you something. Whatever negativity and poison was in that man's existence was just coming out of him and coming straight at me. But I said, "No, Lord, I'm not going to take that in today." And I chose to walk away from him. How many times in your day do you get up every morning and you have good intentions for the morning and the first person that walks in your life or the first phone call you get or maybe even looking at something on social media, you see that toxin coming out, that poison, that stuff just wanting to seep into your being and take away your joy? How many of you had that happen? I think we have it happen all the time. You see, toxic people do that. They do that. But don't take on the poison. Instead, know that God has prepared a table in the presence of your enemy. Means that I'm interested, what's on that table? God has put joy on that table. God has put peace on that table. God has put love on that table for you. And that's powerful stuff. And so, when you feel accosted like that, when you feel attacked like that, put that stuff behind you. Don't wear it on yourself. And take up that table that's in front, that God has already prepared for you. Preparing a table for me in the presence of my enemies is not so I can enter a food fight with them, with a toxic person, and walk away with their food thrown all over me. And rather, God's table is set in His presence. I can walk away keeping my soul intact, keeping my joy, keeping my peace. There's food on that table. It's a sustenance that is from God in the face of any enemy that threatens to rob you of those things that are rightfully yours as God's people. We have what we need to pass through that kind of valley, that kind of darkness. We need not fear evil of any kind. We need not take on adversity and allow its ugly, toxic poison to poison us. And nor does God want us to. Despite David being chased by enemies, King David, you remember in the Old Testament, chased by enemies all around him. In another psalm, he wrote, "This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad."
Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. Today, your table is set. God is going to work it out. No matter what enemy you perceive in your life, God is going to work it out. You know why? Because God has the last word in your life. God says, "I have the last word. All is well." So if you're still dealing with a problem in your life, if you're still hurting inside from someone's behavior or from a grief or from a loss, God is going to have the last word. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. God is going to work it out. You can ask yourself, am I going to get up out of bed and enter this day with anger, with despair, with fear, with dread, or some kind of woe? Or am I going to let that all go because this is the day the Lord has made? Am I going to sit at the table and digest the good food that God has given me and prepared for this day? We can trust, you see, in the Lord for everything because the Lord has the last word in our lives. So if you're still dealing with something, it's not the end. God will have the last word in your life. We are not given the luxury, you see, of running away from toxic people, toxic world. We're not given that luxury. But instead, we are invited into the greater luxury of choosing joy, choosing love, choosing peace. That is the table God has prepared before our enemies, of turning tragedy into blessing, of turning enemies into friends, of turning fear into faith, of turning hate into love, of negativity into joy. There's another scripture in Matthew's gospel on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, resist not evil. That means don't even engage it. Stay away from it. The table is set for you and for me, and God wants us to enter into the day in a whole new way with thanksgiving and praise. So get up in the morning and say, thank you, God, that I woke up. Some mornings I say that. Thank you, God, I woke up today. I'm alive. I have another day to be with my family and friends. I have another day to plant my garden coming this spring. I have another day to see the sun. Ultimately, another day to trust God in a whole new way. If your job or the work you do is giving you problems, thank God I have a job. God is in this day and will have the last word. That food is yours for choosing. Choose peace, choose joy, choose happiness. Choose it. Instead of asking yourself, why did I encounter that nasty man say, Thank you, God, that I can choose to be at peace instead. Instead of asking, why am I so sick? Say, thank you, God, that I have another day in this health journey with me and you are in it to find answers. Instead of dread of going to some meeting with some very irritating people, you can say, thank you, God, that I am here and I am part of the solution because God is working through me. And then the psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know, there's valleys and shadows in every single day. There's a shadow of death in a store with an irritable merchant and at the bedside of a critically ill patient. Years ago, while working at Yale Smilow Cancer Center, I met a woman whose frail, sick body and weak voice would wake up every morning singing, singing. She was a mother and a wife, too young to be so sick. But she woke up singing and with a smile on her face in the shadow of death. When I asked her one day how she could be so happy, you know what she said? She said, Donna, I'm just grateful for another day to visit with my children. The joy of the Lord was in her. The psalmist goes on to say, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The shepherd's rod is a symbol of the God's strength. The staff means an essential tool that the shepherd used to guide the sheep. You see, God has the tools in your life to guide you, to give you the life that God means for you to have. No matter what losses you have had in your life, it's not the end. There's more. There's more. So let the table of spiritual food keep you healthy in all your relationships, everyday encounters, and don't allow this toxicity that we feel in the world today. It's coming at us from every direction. Don't let that poison your soul and cause you to be unhealthy. Don't let the negativity steal your joy. Don't let someone else's anxiety and fear rob you of that peace. This is what this psalm is really saying. Most often read at funerals, but you know what? It's really for our everyday lives. The great shepherd is walking with us, to protect our hearts and our emotions from the assaults of this world. And there are assaults, we know that. Not just from nasty people, but from TV and social media and newspapers and headlines, everywhere we are assaulted. Our energy and our emotions get drained. But let the table set before you that God sets be your protection. God's rod and staff are not leading you and me into a destructive place, but rather a place of trust, blessed assurance, and peace for every day.